Please turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. We'll be looking at the story of little Moses and a basket gone down a river. Exodus chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10 of Exodus 2. Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid there 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and dabbed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying, and she took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water."
Come on, sweetie. Oh, honey, you've got something on your face.
Mom!
Way to go, Jake! Good job, buddy! You got this! Go, Slugger! Yeah!
Woo!
Did you brush your teeth? Did you really brush your teeth? Let me smell your breath.
Mom!
Okay, Jake, honey, this is the only thing I can find, all right?
Yeah, it's a compound fracture.
I'm sorry, sweetheart. You're gonna be okay.
Mom?
Well, you have a good set of crutches?
Seriously, Jake, what am I going to do with you?
Mom.
Hi, Jake.
Hi.
Ooh, she's really cute.
Mom.
Mom?
Not a chance. I left all that behind.
Mom.
Jake, sit up straight, honey.
Mom.
Got something on your face.
Mom.
Our moms sacrifice for their children, don't they? Our story today shows the depth and width of what some of that sacrifice looked for some moms. Mothers sacrifice first through their bravery. Look at verses 1 through 3 of chapter 2. Now a man for the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. And the woman conceived, bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him there 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and dabbed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it along the reeds by the riverbed. First of all, to even consider having children is an act of bravery. The act itself of having children, much less trying to raise them. It's an incredibly courageous and brave act that our mothers chose. A man and woman came together physically and they had a child, Aram and Jochebed, were Moses' Aaron and Miriam's parents. Jochebed was there, the mother. She gave birth to the first in a line of priests, Aaron. She gave birth to a prophetess, a woman of God, Miriam. And of course, she gave birth to the prince of Egypt, Moses. Recorder of the Ten Commandments, great prophet and leader of God. Not a bad line of kids to have come from your heritage. At the age of 16, Augustine fled from Africa. His mother that night was weeping and begging God not to let him leave Africa, but he fled to Rome for a party lifestyle and for pagan beliefs. She begged and pleaded with God, but God did not intervene. Years later, when Augustine returned home, God hadn't answered that first prayer, but he'd answered some other ones. And he came back home a Christian, and indeed was one of the famous, most famous Christians to ever live. And he said, that day God didn't answer Mom's prayer to stop me from leaving, but he answered a different one to draw me near him. You see, the legacy of a faithful praying mom sometimes takes years to see fulfilled. But you keep going. You don't give up. You wait, you pray, you seek God, and you hope that God may direct your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and your nieces and nephews. You do not give up, but you trust in the Lord and you listen for his answer. So Jochebed was Moses' mother. Now, I never thought I would need to say this, but here's some definitions of mother for you. Your female parent. The woman who gave birth to you. The female who has responsibility and authority over you. To mother is to treat someone with care of kindness as though they were a small child. A mother is a person who was born a biological female who raises a child in her body and then delivers it. The influences our mothers have over our lives is powerful. We have spiritual mothers and adopted mothers, stepmothers, biological mothers, sisters, aunts, cousins, and women of all types that have had positive influence over us. And they all deserve to be honored today. Not all of us are mothers, but all of us had mothers and motherly figures in our life that blessed us and made our lives better. And those are the people that we recognize today. Moses' mom wants a better life for her son. Jochebed sees that he's a fine child, a handsome boy, and she loved him. She wanted to protect him from death, from the Egyptians, and from anything bad that would ever happen to him. Elon Musk is one of the richest men on the planet. He just bought Twitter. He's famous and infamous for it at the same time. But do you think that happens in a vacuum? You know anything about Elon's mom? Did you know she's one of the oldest supermodels in the world? She's been on the cover of Time and Vogue, Newsweek. She holds 2 advanced degrees in nutrition and dietitian. And she saw her son's genius at the age of 3 and began to buy him every book she could get her hands on, even though she was raising her family without the positive support of her husband. She made sure that boy had the books that he needed and taught him the importance of being kind to people. He even says that's one of the reasons why he started Tesla and SpaceX and has dreams for the future of humanity is because of the life lessons that his mother instilled in him. Now, we might not be Elon Musk, but our moms did the same things for us. They saw the positive characteristics in us and loved us there and grew it for us. She also sacrificed for her son, choosing to let him go. In fact, planning for it. This word for the little boat that she puts him in is actually the same Hebrew word for ark that Noah builds. So I believe God is emphasizing to us that just as Noah was completely dependent on God, his sovereign grace in his hand to protect him, Moses, little helpless babe in an ark, had that same dependence on God. Mothers prepare for us all the time. Mothers do the same thing, you know. On their wedding day, they're helping us get cakes and gowns, flowers and decorations, all in preparation for that special day as they move off on their own and start a new life. Moms prepare us our whole lives for those major transitions. And that's what Moses' mother does. Letting go of her son, it's not a small deal. It's a big deal. It's the only way she can let him go is through faith. I mean, all of our moms have to let us go sometime, right? With some of us, it starts with college or vocational school. We begin to see our kids fewer and fewer times as they age in high school and into college. Steve and Christina, I thought about Peyton. It's coming up, guys. I'm sorry. I feel bad for you. I'm going to be there one day, too. But I thought about y'all when I was writing this. You see, all mothers, sisters, brothers, fathers, we all have to let go of our children sometime. But the incredible thing about Moses' mom is that she puts her infant in a boat with nothing but a hope and a prayer. Now, I think a hope and a prayer might be a little bit more than we used to think it was, right? A hope and a prayer from a mother is not a trivial thing, but it's a powerful thing. That no matter what we're afraid of, no matter how uncertain we are of the future movement of our children, that we can always trust in the Lord to handle it. For our mothers are not just courageous, they're not just brave, but they're also compassionate. Look at verses 4 through 6 of chapter 2. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant women, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "That is one of the Hebrew's children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Do you want me to find the mom?" You know, mothers, almost by their very definition, are compassionate people. They care for and about the emotions of everybody else, it seems. Right? Mothers and compassion go together like vinegar and North Carolina barbecue, right? They're joined at the hip. If you love one, you got to love the other in some form or fashion. Moses' sister, Miriam, stands at a distance and she watches over her brother, helping her mother lovingly care for her sibling. It illustrates the point that many of us live out in our own lives, that brothers and sisters help their mothers and they grow up quickly while they're doing it. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be the scared little girl who follows her brother down the river? She shows us what it looks like to honor and love your parents. She shows us what it looks like to love her family well. She hopes her son runs into the right person down the river. I mean, listen, I'm sure they knew where the royal family went to bathe. So they put that basket, hoping and praying. Maybe they'd find him and he'd get to work in the palace or something. I mean, I'm sure that's probably what they were thinking. And they quietly and deliberately placed that child in the right place at the right time and the right time of day. I mean, how many times have the women in your life done that for you? Put you at the right place at the right time, deliberately and lovingly. Too many times to count. Godly women influence the people in their lives by loving them well, which positions us for all success in life. They don't just care for their own needs, but they lovingly care for the needs of others. And Moses is right on the precipice of success when he's in that baby ark. She places him right in front of Pharaoh's family. Listen, all that he accomplishes in life, he owes to the education, the background, and the integrity that comes out of that basket. What baskets of success are we laying for our children today? Children, have you thanked your mom for the tender care and love that she put on you for that road to success? Hoping you meet the right person, that still applies today too, doesn't it? I mean, we pray that our kids would marry the right people. I mean, how many times has your mom prayed for you about that you meet the right man or woman? I mean, how many times have we prayed for the success of our family members and romance? Lots and lots, loads and loads of loving support for our future. And Moses' adopted mom loves him well too. She takes pity on him and has compassion on him. He's just a tiny, helpless newborn baby, defenseless in this world, and his death has been ordered, and she has compassion on him. What a good woman. You know, there's a probation officer in New York City in 1952, and he was really upset because he couldn't find anybody to take in this little boy. This 12-year-old boy was truant, and time after time he would come and he'd find this boy. And he couldn't get the Catholics to take the boy in because he wasn't Catholic. He couldn't get any of the Protestants to take him in because he wasn't Protestant. He couldn't get any of the Jewish organizations to take him in because he wasn't Jewish. And nobody would take him in the foster care system. So this little boy was failed by the government. You know, he was failed by religious organizations. He was failed by everybody. And I can't help but when I hear that boy's story, wonder what might have happened if he had been lovingly adopted or lovingly cared for in a good foster family. But they failed him. And that little boy's name was Lee Harvey Oswald. See, the impact of adoption can have repercussions for years to come. Not only on the lives of the children themselves, but the generations that come after them. Pharaoh's daughter saw him, knew that he was a Hebrew baby, and took him in anyway. A different race, a different religion, a different background. Anyone who cares for a child that is not their own follows in her footsteps. Anyone who loves a child changes their diaper, prepares their bottle, washes them, make a mess of their kitchen. I'm sorry, Bill, Zachary, and Brenda. My son was not listening that day. You do well when you love a child, even if you're not their biological parent. But mothers sacrifice through their bravery, their compassion, and their generosity. Look at verses 7 through 10. Then his sister said to Moses' daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed. And when the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's house, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." Most mothers would rather do without than have their children suffer at all. They're generous with their bodies when they give birth to them. They're generous with their bodies when their babies eat and sleep and hang all over them. They're generous with their money. They're generous with their love. They're generous with their encouragement. But most of all, our mothers are overly generous to us, and we love them all the more for it. Miriam, Moses' sister, listened to her mother and followed that basket down the river. She was in exactly the right place at exactly the right time. Although only a child, she put herself at risk to save little Moses. Can you imagine how scared she would be to talk to Pharaoh's daughter? Yet somehow this little girl mustered enough courage and generosity and humility to say, "Would you like to take this baby in?" By putting her own life at risk, she didn't just assure the safety of her brother, but she guided that baby back to her mama. There was a blizzard in Wales, and a young woman was caught out in it, and she had a newborn infant baby that was just a few months old. And she knew she wasn't going to make it, and she collapsed in a field on her way to a house. When the blizzard cleared, rescuers finally located her body and realized almost immediately that she was dead. But what they didn't expect was when they turned her over, there was a pile of clothes under her. You see, before she died, she took off every exterior bit of clothing that she had on her and placed it on this little baby. And he survived. And that little baby boy grew up with the story of his mother's sacrifice and the story of his mother's love on his heart. And he didn't waste it. That boy became a man, and his name was David Lloyd George. And he became one of the greatest British statesmen in all their history. He became the Prime Minister of England, setting other people's needs above his own. He went down in history as a great leader in their country. You see, our mothers and our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers, our aunts, our cousins, and our sisters live by daily acts of heroism. Sometimes it's a life and death struggle, just like this story, where your toddler tries to run in the street and you got to dive and stop them. Other times it's far less dramatic. But whether you're a biological, spiritual, or other kind of womanly influence, your daily sacrifices and bravery are just as impressive and no less costly. So Pharaoh's daughter tells Miriam, "Get your mom." The sister is instrumental in getting the baby back to Moses, back to his mom, and the whole family has to be involved. They kept this secret for 3 months, the Bible tells us. And then they float him down the river. Even their neighbors would have had to have been in on it because this baby would have made some noise. But they wanted to secure for him a future. And what a future he has. He's raised as a prince of Egypt, given the Ten Commandments, one of the greatest prophets to ever live, who speaks to God and learns his name, all because of the faithfulness of his mother, his sister, and his adopted mother. They set him on a path of success that gave him a chance at greatness. I had a supervisor in my time in the Air Force, and he used to say this to us. He'd say, "We have an opportunity for excellence." And I hated it when he said that, because what he meant was, here's a chance for you to volunteer to do some work nobody wants to do. You're not going to get paid more for it. It's going to be worse work, and no one's going to know about it. I hated him because he would say, who wants an opportunity for excellence? Hey, this would look great on your paperwork. And we all just kind of look the other way because if you make eye contact, he'd call on you, kind of like in class. But I hate to admit this years later, but he was right. He was right. It was an opportunity to show the excellence of our character. It was an opportunity to show who we were. And in the same way, Moses' family, especially Miriam and Jochebed, have shown who they are. They've shown the quality of their character through the work that they were willing to do. They protected and watched over this child and gave him an opportunity for success. Now, my question for you is, who have you done that for? Who have you protected and helped and watched over and given them an opportunity for success that you never had access to? Is there someone in your life sacrificing a great deal of money and time and love to give you a chance at greatness? Are they going out of their way to lovingly care for you? Then you've got to hold on tight to that goodness and that grace and at the very least thank them for it. Listen, we need to go out of our way today to tell the women in our lives, not just our biological mothers, but the women in our lives what they mean to us. I mean, at the end of the service today, I want it to be full of holy mutterings. You know what I mean? Where I can't tell what you're saying even when I try to listen in because there's so many people talking. So much encouragement and love and support. I just want it to echo in the sanctuary. Because that's one of the sweetest challenges in church. Incredibly, after giving up Moses, she gets him back. In fact, she's hired to be his nurse. She gets paid to be his mom. Unbelievable. She can care for him out in the open, and she takes care of this child for Pharaoh's daughter. For years, Tom Carter's mom prayed for his salvation. But it seemed like the more she prayed that he would know God, the worse his life got. I mean, she in her heart thought he was a good boy, but he wasn't a good person. Do you know what I mean? The kind of person only a mama loves. He got in trouble more and more and ended up in jail after jail after jail. And then he finally got like a prison sentence. And one day she got word that he was killed in a riot. And she went into her room and she just started praying and weeping to God. And she said, God, is your word true or is this message true? She built up her courage, and she called that jail, and she said, y'all just told me my son died, and it's got to be a mistake. And they said, no, I think you're mistaken. You're up in years. This man died. And said, no, you need to look at it. That's not my boy. And lo and behold, she was right. They made a mistake. They sent the letter to the wrong mom. And a few months later, he became a Christian. And a few months after that, he became a pastor and an evangelist, and he spent the rest of his life doing God's work. You see, sometimes when we least expect it, God moves in our lives. Sometimes when we think there's no more hope for victory, that's when God grants it. It's not predictable. It's unexplainable. But that's what God did for Moses. This little baby has floated down the river, and at the time that seems the worst, he's at the precipice of the greatest victory he's ever going to have. Until he begins to see God move in Egypt. But here's the sad part of the story. A few years later, after falling in love with this little baby all over again, he's 2, 3, 4 years old. She weans him and brings him back to the palace and gives up her child a second time. There's no way the second time didn't hurt just as much as the first. But the heart of a mother sacrifices again and again and again for her children. And God sees the loving efforts even when no one else does. Henry Way had a gambling problem, and he stole his mother's life savings from a safe deposit box, $13,000. He put it all on the Kentucky Derby, and he lost. He didn't win a cent back. And the police found out about it, and they arrested him. They brought him into trial, and there was a problem because his mom said, I'm not testifying against my son. And they said, come on, you know he stole this money from you. Why don't you stand up and tell everybody what's going on? And he said, look, she said, my son is my son. And I might not have that much longer to live, but he will know that I forgive him before I die. Even if I have nothing left and I'm destitute, he'll know my love. Mr. Way couldn't take that. When he heard Miss Lillian say that, he just burst into tears in the courtroom. He ran and hugged his mom and he said, "Mama, you're going to live with me." And he took care of his mom and she lived with him until the day she died. See, the hope and prayer of a mother is powerful. Sure, the pay's lousy. And few but God know the real sacrifice of being a mother. But you have the love, affection, and appreciation of that child, God willing. And nobody, I mean nobody, can pray and hope for a child like a mama can. You know, University of Wisconsin researchers developed the perfect mother. She's about 5 feet tall, covered in fur, has a breast that doesn't run out of milk, and a light bulb that's warm. And the monkeys love her. They love her. They crawl up on her, and she doesn't move away. She doesn't throw the babies off of her after a while. She doesn't kick them out the bed when they're bothering her. She doesn't yell at them when they bite her. She's got a perfect amount of patience. That perfect monkey mother. And at the end of their trials, the researchers wrote down and they said, "I think humans might like a perfect mother too." I don't think so. I don't think so. Listen, our mothers are human. And they're wonderfully, wonderfully imperfect. Whether you're a human mother or simply someone who can appreciate it, you understand how complicated motherhood is. That it's beautiful, that it's a struggle with pain and sacrifice, but it is imperfect just as our moms are. So how do we apply this message? First, if you're a mother today, I want you to forgive yourself for being imperfect. Mamas, I know y'all, but I could have done this for my son. I could have done this for my daughter. Even now you're thinking of reasons I'm wrong, and you're wrong. Because God didn't make you perfect. God made you their mom, and it's okay. You need to allow yourself to be human. Forgive yourself for your imperfections. Because what happens is, the harder we are in ourselves, the more it becomes sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. And we put that out into the world, and we put that onto other people that we love and we care for. And first and foremost, we need to have a positive self-attitude. Because a negative self-image can impact everyone around us. Do not count up your failures as a mother, but rest in the knowledge that you are perfectly imperfect as God has made you. Number two, listen, if your mom's imperfect, you got to forgive her. No matter how wonderful, how grand, or how life-changing your mother is, they make mistakes. And we've got to forgive them. If you have a mother today, you need to forgive her for being imperfect. Forgive her for her humanity. Not because she deserves it. Not because she's a good person. And listen, not even because you're a good person. But we forgive our mothers for their imperfections because God has forgiven us. When I am truly aware of the depth of my own depravity, my perspective shifts. When I see my own sin clearly, when I see my selfishness, my anger, my bitterness, my hostility, when I honestly try to take some measure of objectivity at the sin committed at my whole life, I'm blown away by the grace of God. We forgive those who hurt us because He forgives us. We forgive those who hurt us because the gospel demands it. And listen, we forgive those who hurt us because it is psychologically beneficial and healthy. And number three, we got to forge an opportunity. Y'all, Mother's Day is full of pink letters and flowers, so I got some manly language. Forge. We're going to forge an opportunity, okay, y'all? What does that mean? It means this. One of the most significant applications of Mother's Day, as I see it, is that we need to go mother people. Listen, you don't have to be a mother to mother someone. You don't even have to be a woman to be motherly to people. To be motherly means to be kind and loving and gentle and respectful towards people in your lives. I think we could all do with being a little bit more motherly, couldn't we? We could all do with being a little bit more kind. So look, you don't have to have children to be a mother and love them. You don't have to be a woman to tenderly care for those you love. So today, your sermon application is to lovingly support and help somebody, mother them. Go and start today. Take somebody to lunch when this is over. Make them a nice home-cooked meal. I invite you to respond this morning, first, if you're a mother, by forgiving yourself. for not being a perfect mother. Second, I invite you to respond this morning by forgiving your own mother for horror imperfections. Okay? Stop holding that over her, you. And ultimately, I invite you to go and mother someone else today. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you so much for all of the mothers and women in our lives. Thank you for our aunts and our uncles, our cousins and our adopted mothers. We honor them today and the sacrifices that they make, because I know, God, that our world would be a horrible place without the influence of women. God, I remember being in tents in Afghanistan where no women were around, and it was horrible. They make everything about our lives better, and we honor them today, Lord. God, help those who have imperfect mothers to forgive them this morning. God, help those who are imperfect mothers to forgive themselves this morning. And God, help all of us to lovingly care for others, forging opportunities to share your love with them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand.
Craig, will you close us in prayer today?